It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today.
Our backs are to the walls, ladies and gentlemen, and we have run out of places to hide.
Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We got a great show for you. Right, it's great.
Hi, gang, this is Mean Gene Okerlund.
Hey, this is Kevin Nash. You're listening to Doc Young.
I've never heard of a bigger baby in my life
than the legendary Les Thatcher.
I know Les Thatcher.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
Thank you.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
That's pretty damn cool.
That is cool.
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling Weekly. Yeah, Doc Young, Les Thatcher here with you. It is, of course, Tuesday night. We've got a great show for you, 2 hours of wrestling talk for you. Tonight on the show, Rob Van Dam, the featured guest. Of course, he is the former WWE and ECW World Champion. Also, we've got Bruce Mitchell from the Pro Wrestling Torch. He's going to be joining us for Hot Topic. Got a lot of stuff to get to tonight, but...
And Doc Young on speed.
I'm on speed tonight. I'm hyped for this show.
Let me retract that because I'm not going down on you tonight. I'm not making any negative comments about you or about wrestling. I wouldn't want to screw up with the 15-year-olds that don't understand the business.
If you really mean that, this is going to be an interesting show to try to get through tonight.
I want to say that wrestling is just extremely positive, and just that if you're watching something from 1975 or 1980, it's then you understand the art of the work, and if you think what's going on currently is where it's at, then you're clueless.
I have to
hang up on me if you like.
I have to explain my co-host Les Thatcher's demeanor tonight. He actually went to the forums. For the first time, I think.
Out of curiosity, because it was said to be new.
And saw some things that, well...
No, that's cool.
He doesn't agree with.
You know what? Pay your dime and have your opinion. That's cool. You know what? And I'll make comments on brain surgery. You know what I know about brain surgery? Absolutely nothing.
I'm sure somewhere on the internet there is a board where, like layman's diagnose medical diseases.
Well, that's cool. They can do that.
Things like that.
Because
right.
I can't, because I don't know anything about it, and and I'm sure the people that are tired of hearing me knock in the wrestling business don't know crap about it either. Okay?
Actually, it's the other way around, Les, because you get to give your views and platform on the show, and the listeners aren't allowed on this show, so they only get the message board. So it's kind of cool for you.
Okay. Whatever. It is my opinion, but it's also based on almost a half a century of being involved in the industry from the inside.
That's true.
Not reading message boards about it, not reading dirt sheets. I don't want to say dirt sheets because I don't like that word. Not reading newsletters about it, not reading anything. It's actually being involved.
Right.
I was a wrestler for 20 years. I produced television. I've worked with some of the top people in the industry. So would I happen to know? I probably don't know crap, but, hey, whatever. I think a great inner promotional card would be a double main event, would be which cage is the rat in with Frankie Kazarian against Dustin Black Rain for a rat.
Rat on the pole match?
And Hornswoggle against Vince in a cage.
Yeah.
I mean, that's professional wrestling, isn't it?
Unfortunately.
Oh, well, and wait a minute. Maybe Maria against Ashley. That would be top technical, whatever. I'm you know, don't get me off. I can do 2 hours on this crap.
I take it you saw Raw last night.
You know what I say to this? To some kid that's in my camp that wants to debate, I'm going to say, here's my resume. Where's yours?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have one? Okay, then shut the fuck up and move on with your life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because your opinion isn't valid.
Right.
Excuse me. Somebody likes the Three Stooges, somebody else likes Dennis Miller. But that doesn't make you an expert on either one, okay? Do I claim to be an expert? Yes, I do. Because I've lived it. Huh?
I don't.
Well, no. And if you did, I would dispute that, and then they'd be mad at me for that, too, because I pick on you too.
Because I'm lovable, Les.
Because I pick on you. Well, that's cool. You know what? I'm not lovable, but I'm real. All right?
I'll give you that, sir, and
And I'll tell you again what I tell some. If you're looking for somebody to tell you you're the most handsome kid in the world, talk to your mother. Or some woman will lie to you and tell you the best in bed she's ever had. To talk to you. I don't sleep with you, and my name's not on your birth certificate. I'm given valid explanations about this business, and there isn't a lot. You know, the crazy thing is I sent you two emails today from two people whose ages together would duplicate mine.
Right.
Okay? And they are fans, and they don't like what's going on either.
No.
Now, so I guess they're jackasses too, okay? So it's whatever. If you think, if you think an acrobatic circus with midgets against giants and rats in cages on poles is where it's at, then cool. Then you've never really seen professional wrestling as the art. That's all. You know.
And of course, you're going to, when you're experienced in the business, you're actually seeing it from that side. You have a different perspective, of course.
Well, you know what? I watch baseball, but I don't, you know what? I don't second guess managers. Mm-hmm. I don't know why Bill Belichick did what he did in the Super Bowl with his team. Why he didn't make adjustments. And although I played a little football myself, I don't think I'm smart enough to actually, and I've watched a lot. I don't think I'm smart enough to actually second guess him. Because he's the guy, it actually is coaching a major football team, not me. Mm-hmm. So he probably knows more than I do. God forbid, but he probably does.
Are you of the opinion that, it's clear that you don't think that people should claim to be experts in wrestling when they've never been in wrestling or analyze wrestling?
No, I don't. No, because that may be the only thing that I am an expert at. Here's the crazy thing. I don't have an axe to grind. I'm not under contract to anybody. There's not a corporate line for me to spew. I don't have to lie about anything. And my stance is what I think is best for the industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that means that somebody that thinks flip-flop and fly circus acrobatics and paint by numbers, lay it out all out in the dressing room is where it's at, then you know what? You probably wouldn't come to one of my shows, but you know what? I wouldn't care.
Right.
Because there are people that would. So, I mean, and I probably wouldn't come to one of yours.
I think what it is, a lot of people hear
sorry, I came to one of yours, and I regretted it, okay? So,
hey, it was a fun drive, wasn't it?
Rosie,
you and Maddie hit the road together.
Maddie and I got to talk a lot on the way down and on the way back. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, and I sent you Jose's column, right? Did you read it?
You sent me Jose's column?
Yes.
When?
Oh, never mind. Forget it. Well, let's move on to the next hour of the show. Somebody's going to say, I'm picking on Doc.
No, I did get one from you today, but I didn't get two.
You should have gotten two.
I didn't get two.
Well, you should have. Anyway. This young man does a column on a site, and he was saying that, we're going to get into the subject anyway. He was lamenting the demise of Ohio Valley Wrestling. Well, actually, not its demise, but the fact that it's no longer a part of the WWE developmental system.
Right.
And that the independence isn't a place to develop talent. And he's under the age of 30.
That's true.
And he's right. It's not, because he says that most promoters at that level are fans. They're not. They have other. In other words, professional promoting professional wrestling is not their job. It's not their, you know, their major source of income.
It's their weekend thing.
Yeah, well, and they book people. They're marks. They book as fans. You know.
Yeah,
and that's true too.
And the thing is, when you watched Tough Enough, when they first came into the camp, they said, especially to Chris Nowinski, who had already been trained at, I believe, the Monster Factory. I want to say.
No. I think it was Kowalski's.
Yes, it was Kowalski's camp. He was already trained at Kowalski's camp. They told Nowinski, they said, forget everything that you learned at Kowalski's camp. You were going to learn things the WWE way. Well, in the independents, they don't teach things the WWE way.
Well, you see, and you know, the whole point is, anyway, this columnist was writing about his the sadness that there's no learning place for the business if developmental is narrow, you know. Well, let's talk about that. Danny Davis is a hell of a guy. He's a longtime friend of mine, and if he weren't a friend of mine, he's still a hell of a trainer.
Right.
And he's, you know, Al Snow is a personal friend. Is Al the greatest trainer in the world? Well, I really don't know, but he obviously understands how to train people.
Right.
Story is that some of the guys didn't like him. Well, you know what? Al's not running for most popular in the senior class. That's not his job as a coach or a trainer. You'll find out that Bill Parcells and Bobby Knight and Vince Lombardi and people that, you know, weren't running for popularity polls. Their job was to correct and teach,
right,
and make things done right. So, you know what? I don't really care if you like him. You goddamn well should respect him. You know, that's the bottom line, and learn from him, because that's the whole job. But the point is, OVW contributed a lot to WWE's success. Now, the thing that jumped off the page at me in their press release, or whatever you want to call it, saying why they pulled out of there was, well, it was, you know, it's a lot of WWE executives live in Florida, so it's convenient for them to go look at the talent. Oh, so that's what this is about, convenience. Well, of course it is. And that's how you develop talent, by convenience.
Right.
No, that's wrong.
Right.
That's totally wrong. And I will stand by that till the day I die, okay? As a trainer or as an observer or as anything else, I'll stand on this no matter what. There should be four or five developmental territories, and I don't care if it's convenient for people that are running it or not. That's not what – you know what? The Cincinnati Reds have, I don't know, four or five farm clubs, but they're not all located within a 10-minute driving distance of downtown Cincinnati.
That's true.
Because why? Well, because it's not feasible, but for wrestling, here's the thing. Here's how you learn this business. You work by working with different people in different situations, and that would mean different fan bases in different places, but also – now, I have all the confidence in the world in Tommy Pritchard. He is a personal friend of mine. We have worked together in WWE as trainers. We have worked together in EPWT as trainers. We see so much alike, but that's not even the point either. Okay? Here's the thing. You know your sister. You see your sister every day. Okay? And I may walk in the house and say, hey, Doc, your sister's got a wart on her nose. Really? I didn't notice that. Why? Because you see her every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's the other reason that one of the things that I liked about work when my camp was, Cincinnati's 100 miles from Louisville, give or take a few miles, okay? But Danny and Jimmy could see my guys and say, you know, so-and-so, did you notice this? No, I didn't. Or their guys could be, and I said, do you see this with Batista? Or do you see this? No, I didn't. See, because you're with them all the time, so you miss little things sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, anyway, that's the whole thing, to give the guys. And so I think this is penny wise and dollar foolish. I think it's, they just advertised that the big quarter where they came up, where they netted in the same quarter last year, $15 million, and this year they netted $21 million. So it's not like they're losing money. So somebody's going to say, well, they're successful. What the hell do you – why do they need developmental? Well, because at some point, Shawn Michaels and Helmsley and Finley will be gone.
This is exactly where I was going to go with this. The fourth quarter results came out today, and you had just said, you know, what they were. and WWE can go ahead and claim everything's great, everything's fine, look how much money we're making. We're making more money than we made last quarter.
But see, and again, let me say this to those who are smarter about this business, who have been in it 48 minutes and I've been in it 48 years, okay? Mm-hmm. Or they've been watching it for 48 minutes or 48 days and I've been actually working in it for 48 years. See, my concern is with the industry. There are not a lot of great workers.
Mm-hmm.
There may be great acrobats. There may be great talkers. They may have great bodies. They may be this or that, but they're not great workers. And, you know, it comes back to this again. I don't care what your costuming could be tremendous and your build can be tremendous and the music that gets you to the ring could be tremendous, but when the bell rings, if you can't slap your ass with both hands, who gives a damn? We saw that with and here I'm going to throw something negative out. Maria, if Maria can work, I'm Jesus Christ. I mean, and she can't, and there's no nail holes in my hands, okay?
Bless that poor girl's heart.
No, there's nothing poor girl about it. She's horrible.
I mean, that
doesn't mean she doesn't have nice boobs or doesn't mean she's not cute. She's horrible. She cannot work. And to put her out there like that is sad.
It is.
Do I care about seeing Hornswoggle against Vince? I don't know Hornswoggle, and I have no problem with Vince personally, okay? I have no accident. But it's a stupid match. Who cares?
Right.
Okay? Do I care about, let me tell you, go back. I remember Wahoo. I remember Mulligan tearing up Blackjack tearing up Wahoo's headdress, and the story was that this was given to Wahoo by a chief of the tribe, you know, and they made it something important. He desecrated something that was personally, you know, a personal momentum, it had meaning to it, right? It wasn't just a headdress. Bobby Kay, who you were, the Cormier brothers from Eastern Canada, Bobby Kay was one of them. He was a country singer and was pretty good. Anyway, somebody took a guitar and broke it, and the story was that this guitar had been handed down from his grandfather, you know, and it had some sentimental meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Last Thursday night, they had a friggin' match for a rat.
Yep.
A frigging rat. Does anybody really give a damn? I mean, and if you're out there, please go on the message board and cut me to ribbons because I don't think that's a cool match. Okay?
They could have had that match in the back and not on TV.
Nobody cared.
Right.
I mean, and here's the other part. Was there any common sense to it? Because didn't Frankie have the rat to start with? So why would he challenge Dustin to a match to see who gets the rat, and why would he care anyway?
I don't know.
See? Okay. Well, you know, and you've got the rest. And those of you who are experts at this business have got the rest of your lives to come up with something that makes sense, and none of it does. Okay?
Here's my whole thing about what's going on right now.
I'm ranting on here, but I don't really, you know, it's just, no, I don't post on message board. I don't do that. You know, I'm a music fan, but I'm not a music critic. I watch American Idol, and I like to watch the kids develop, but I, you know, what I may, and you know what? And if I think something was a good performance, and Simon and Randy and Paula think it wasn't, I'm not going to write something disparaging about them. They're smarter about it than I am. They're getting paid to be in the business.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, and it's not, nobody's hurt my, I mean, Christ, you can't hurt my feelings. But it's just stupid,
right.
You know? But that's one of the things that the Internet has done. It's made big, muscular guys out of 120-pound idiots.
I think you're forgetting about all those people in that thread who told that poster, whoever wrote that message, I don't remember who it was, that, hey, you're dumb, I like that. I like what Les does, and I like this, and I like that.
Well, you know, and you know what, if you don't, leave. You know what, I there are things on television that I don't particularly like, but you know what, I make no campaigns to get them off, I just don't watch them. I change the channel. And am I saying don't listen to us? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. You know, my opinion comes from my heart and almost 48 years of being in this industry, you know, and when you could match that, then I'll listen to you. Until you can, I don't really give a damn what you think, okay? I really don't.
There you have it.
Because it doesn't matter, because you don't know, you know? It's now weak. Now you want to argue about something that neither one of us know about. Let's argue about the Patriots and the Giants, because neither one of us play professional football or are football professional coaches at that, or, you know, understand the game at that level. We just understand what we watch or we like.
Is that what, like, ESPN radio is like?
Huh?
Is that what ESPN radio is like?
Is that what ESPN radio is like?
Yeah. They have talk shows about football and basketball and things like that.
Yeah,
and the
exactly.
host never played.
Well, you know what, though? A lot of them have.
Some of them have, yeah.
Not just, you know, there's more ex-football, ex-basketball, football, baseball players on ESPN than you might realize, just because they're all not named Babe Ruth or Joe Montana doesn't mean they're, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, you know, and the fact that they played, that they weren't Hall of Fame players doesn't mean they don't understand the game. They
That's
obviously
true.
Understand the game, or they wouldn't have got that far to start with.
That's true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. I, you know, but I, do I rest my case? No. Hell, I can go on like this. But it just really doesn't. No, I, but the important thing here is that I feel very badly for Danny Davis, who
yeah.
is a class guy and a tremendous trainer.
And Al. I feel bad for Al. So.
And for the whole organization. And I just think, here again, I don't hate Linda McMahon. I don't hate Vince. I don't hate Stephanie. I don't hate Shane. I don't hate anybody. I just think it was a bad business decision.
Yeah.
I think it's detrimental to developing young talent. And there isn't a lot of great young talent because there's just not the platform to build it on.
Here's what I think is going on, and indulge me in listening to this, and please tell me if I'm wrong at the end. WWE and wrestling in general has lost a lot of its audience. So what they seem to be doing is just shoving it and saturating it in the people's faces who never stop watching wrestling, no matter what happens. And there are people like that who watch wrestling every week,
You're
hoping
right.
something will be different. Now,
I'm going to tell you the truth. Last night, I had it on, okay, and I wasn't immersed in it. And I'll tell you the truth, I switched back and forth. I had some stuff on DVR that I'd watch, and then I thought, okay, I need to see what's going on in Raw. Okay. My wife came through the room, and she said, I thought you quit watching this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now, she's been around the business almost all, you know, well, not all her life, but, I mean, for a number of years, too, right?
Right.
But she says, I don't watch it. I mean, she doesn't want to watch it.
Right.
Right? You know, it's, again, if, the, you know, Jimmy Cornette says to me, you're one of the few people I talk to about wrestling because you're over the age of 40, that you actually have seen a real professional wrestling match.
Right.
And he has a point there, too.
Yeah. So there are fans like this that will watch, and they'll just hope something will get better or whatever. And they'll keep watching every week. Now, it seems to me that WWE is now gearing this toward them. They have stopped trying to gain casual fans. They just want this hardcore group,
well,
not necessarily internet
you
people.
Know,
but
it's still, you know, what you know, I don't want the clock. Let me say this real quick. I don't want to turn the clock back. I had a hell of a good time, a good run in this business. I enjoyed 1968. I enjoyed 1978. But do I want to turn the clock back from 2008 to those? No, I don't. You know, but I would like, I mean, the business should go back to the logical progression of what it was in terms of you and I are fighting for a title or for a shot at a title to claim the number one contendership or whatever. It's not over something, you know. It's not over a frigging rat,
mm-hmm.
you know, or over who likes my wife better.
Well, I think the reason for that is, like I said, you know,
part of the reason for it is the lack of talent.
Well, that too, but they're pretty much, you know, broadcasting to this core group, and what they're doing is they're just ramming it down their throat. 7 hours of programming a week, one pay-per-view a month, more, because they realize that more in the end gets more money than just a few with a lot of listeners.
That's the whole thing. It doesn't. It's just like that whole Abyss, Messias, thumb. You know what? If I kept throwing thumbtacks down on the canvas week after or match after match, and I'm the guy I kept getting thrown at them, even a mongoloid idiot smarter than that at some point. They're going to stop throwing the thumbtacks down there, aren't they?
So you're saying that they...
I'm saying that they're giving you all this stuff. It's media. I mean, they have the industry in its haste to play. Can you top this? I wish I could give you a logical reason for the stuff that we're talking about, but I can't. But I can say this, that going through a table means absolutely nothing anymore. A cage match doesn't mean anything anymore. The titles have been rendered virtually useless. Being a contender, man, it's like, because it's all just too easy.
Right.
There's no build up to it. It doesn't. We do it every week, or we do it,
Right, and it's detrimental for the future storylines and for the future of the industry.
It's detrimental for the business as a whole. Plus,
right.
What Jose's column said that you didn't see and read is that the promoters at the independent level aren't concerned with the industry or developing talent. They're concerned with entertaining themselves for the most part because they're spending their money to put something together. And if they were a Doc Young fan, it doesn't matter that Doc Young can walk and chew gum at the same time. They're going to pay him and book him.
Right. And right? I think it's because they have so many shows. They don't have the time, or they don't want to take the time to build stuff.
They don't have any more shows. I mean, we wrestled every night of the week.
In different towns. One town didn't know what was happening in the other.
But we went to this. You know what? We were in Charlotte every Monday night.
Right.
We were, right. Well, wait a minute. You just said, no, we were in different towns all the time. Make up your mind.
I mean,
You weren't in the same town every night. People wonder why I pick on you.
You weren't in the same town every night is what I mean.
No, we weren't. But you know what? They're not either, but they're on my TV every Monday night.
That's right.
And every Friday night.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at.
But the point is, that's only still once a week. And in that context, it still could be developed to build. We on our television on Saturday, tried to get you into the Charlotte Park Center on Monday, or the Coliseum on Monday night, or the Greenville Coliseum on Monday night, because that town ran through. I'm talking about the Charlotte territory. I'm not talking about every territory. Or if you were in Atlanta, if we worked in Atlanta, we tried to get you in the old Atlanta Auditorium every Friday night with using our TV on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now you've got a pay-per-view. Well, then, you know what? Your Monday show can build to that once-a-month pay-per-view, just like the other stuff. But instead, you give every... I mean, there's nothing... left to the nothing left to want, and everything is thrown out there. It's just too much, and I don't know why. I understood why everybody was giving away the farm when there was a Monday Night War. There is no Monday Night War.
Right.
TNA is not is no threat to WWE. TNA is God knows why. I started to say doing their own thing. I'm not sure what the thing is they're doing.
I think the war is against time and net income. That's what I think their war is against now.
Well,
they want to make as much money as they can.
Well, that's
as
good,
fast
but
as
you
they
know
can.
What? The one thing I will say, they were shady promoters back in the 60s and the 70s and up until all the territories died, and guys who might short you on the payoff, and they might, tell you the house wasn't really a sellout when you figured it was and all that stuff. But you know what? They also had to pay attention to what was best for the business. Whether they had their head in Doc Young's pocket or not wasn't relevant.
Right.
What was relevant was they made their living promoting professional wrestling, and they had to look at that for what was best for the business.
Mm-hmm.
Not was what they weren't concerned. Well, I'm going to reinvent the business. I'm going to reinvent the wheel. I'm going to change everything because I'm not. You know what? And there were changes. Listen, I was an innovative person. When we started Southeastern Wrestling in 1974 in Knoxville, and then went to the CBS affiliate in 75, we went with a whole new format. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of the older guys said it's not going to work, and it did. A lot of the stuff that we did there for the first time is now done all the time on
right.
television. Okay, but I mean. So, I understand innovation. I understand change, but not just for the sake of change.
Right.
I don't want to see the National League baseball teams, the guys wearing skirts this year. I don't want to see them painting their faces like clowns. Baseball should still be baseball.
Right.
They have a designated hitter, whether you like it or you don't, but it's a minor change, right? The foundation, the main foundation of baseball is still the same. Right. The main foundation of football, there's like the bump and run and to protect the quarterback because guys are getting bigger. Well, let's look at drag racing. A lot of drag strips are going to 8 miles to the quarter. Why? Because the cars are so fast, they're trying to cut back the chance for danger, a chance for injury to the drivers, a chance for wrecks because they can't go as fast in a quarter mile as they go in an eighth mile as they go in a quarter of a mile. Okay?
Right.
But these are, there's logical reasons for all this. Right? Is there a logical reason for putting a midget against a giant? Is there a logical reason for putting somebody in the ring who can't walk and chew gum at the same time?
Laziness.
Huh?
They're lazy.
Well, it's just, you know, but that's, it goes right back to the Ohio Valley thing. There should be the Florida Championship Wrestling. There should be Ohio Valley Championship. There should be, hell, I don't know.
There should be a West Coast.
Three or four more other developmental territories.
Seattle,
and
Montana.
Well, I don't care where they put them or how they put them, and it's not about what's convenient for the people that have to go there.
Right.
You know, that's not even the point. The point is that to develop talent, they have to work with different people under different circumstances. That's how you develop. That's how you learn. That's how you grow. And that's the bottom line, not because I said so, because that's the way it is.
Right.
And that's the way it is, you know. And you notice, you don't hear me talking about, when I talk about guys being top workers today on this show, it's not because they're personal friends of mine. It's not because, it's because they are the only people that are top workers.
Right.
You know? It's just, I mean, I can go on. We've been going on for a half hour here. But, I mean, and I'm probably boring some of these people, and hopefully they've turned their, you know, they've gotten off their computer. And we'll never hear from them again. That works for me.
Stay.
Huh?
We want them to stay, Les.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Okay. No, you want them to stay. I don't really care. I really don't. No, I mean, listen. I'm not, you know what? I get nothing for doing this show. So I have no, you know what? If Doc Young's cough medicine is paying me, I'm going to tell you, please take Doc Young's cough medicine. It's the greatest cough medicine in the world, okay? And then Doc's, and if I were getting that $10,000 a week for doing this show that goes all over the world, then I'm going to say, what did you want me to say again, Doc? Listen, we're all whores. It's just a matter of establishing price.
Right.
And my price for this show is zero. I get nothing. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get what I believe to be true because I have been doing this for almost 48 years.
That's how we want
now,
it anyway.
And I don't care if you like it or you don't like it.
Right.
You know? Matt, who's who was supposed to be doing some kind of newsletter for this show?
Matt Johnson, yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. And Doc, see, I didn't know anything about newsletter until Matt told me about it today. But hey, it doesn't matter.
Because it's not started.
I'm not an intricate part of this show in any way, shape, or form. But anyway.
It's not started yet.
Huh?
It's not started yet.
Oh, okay.
We're just in the
idea phase.
That's because
the other guy hasn't contacted Matt.
Yeah, we're just in the idea phase.
Anyway,
right now, so.
I want to shout out to Matt. He's coaching football, which is his prime objective anyway. And he says, you know, he's gonna do well if you know, he's gonna sink his teeth into it and make. But anyway, he was mentioning me in an email about all the outlandish facial expressions he sees on TNA, and I thought, oh my God, I've got to talk negative about TNA. But he's right, you know. Listen, I like Mike Tenay. I think Mike, and I've said this before, I don't like Mike as lead announcer because he's not able to do his historical thing, and that was the thing that endeared me to him on WCW, okay? But when you go on camera, of course, with Don Webb, they always look strained, like they're constipated or...
They're trying to read their scripts. That's
well,
why.
You know what? They're mad at people. And you know what? That's not what commentators are supposed to be.
Right.
And when I say that, I don't know if they're told to be that, whether they just decide to be that on their own. But this is my opinion. Now, Kevin Kelly has some opinions like this, too. And again, this is not for, I don't know Don West, you know, so I'm sure he's nice to his wife and goes to church on Sunday and all that good stuff. This is not the point I'm making. And I love Mike Tenay. He's you know, I like Mike Tenay. I think he's a great guy. But I just, when I see that it's, you're a commentator. It's not about what you think, you know. And and every time you come on camera, you shouldn't look distressed or mad,
right?
You know, if you watch 60 Minutes, Maury Safer, you know, the guys on the lead announcers on the reporters who do the pieces on there, they expressive, but you know, if they just, I mean, they could have an axe murderer that they're interviewing, but you don't, and they obviously don't, or they find it distasteful, but that's their job, right?
Right.
They don't show that. You know, I'm sure that when John Madden sees something happen, you know, a coach makes a call that Madden himself wouldn't make, Madden just doesn't go berserk over it. You know, he may disagree with it, but again, his he's not, you know, the over-the-top facial expressions is what Matt was talking about. And he's right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it is too much. It is, again, it goes, Tomko is the star player of that show because he's not over-the-top.
Tanay didn't do that stuff in WCW. He's
no,
told
he didn't.
To do
no,
that.
No, he didn't. And again, if he's being asked, you know, here's the thing. Let me say, you know, when I say I don't like particular, it's not that I, you know, if Nigel McGuinness, who I started the business, or B.J. Whitmer, or Shannon Moore, Jimmy Yang, or Jamie Noble, who spent a year, Amir Umaga, or Rosie, or, you know, these are my kids, and I love them to death, and you know, when I say I dislike it, I realize they didn't write the script. You know, they're just doing what they're paid to do because
right.
It's a job.
Right.
Okay, so I'm not mad at them. I don't like the concept, you know?
No,
and if I were smart enough to be a Bobby Knight type of basketball coach, and I saw Bobby Knight make a bad call, I wouldn't like that either. But then if I'm paid to be a commentator, you know, I'm paid to diagnose it, but I'm not, you know, there's no need for me to go off the deep end with it. That's
and be
all.
Personally offended by it.
Yeah, no.
That's
no.
How they act. They're
well,
personally
yeah,
offended.
Yeah, and they should, you know.
Right, right.
I mean, because real sports commentators don't.
Right, because they don't really care.
Well, I mean, the point is they're there to analyze and diagnose
right.
and commentate.
Right, they're
know?
Not there to be
yeah.
Emotionally involved. Well,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's
personally
what I said
involved.
The other day about the red goo dripping out of Macias's mouth, and he said, you know, what would you? I said, well, okay, you know, the here's the truth. I said, when Wes says, oh, he's got blood dripping out of his mouth, it's like. Even the people on the message board must roll their eyes. They think, oh, come on, you know, he hadn't bitten anybody. You know, if I were in that seat, if I were one of the commentators on that show, my stance, and I would argue this point with whoever was writing this stuff, because it's just, you're killing the credibility of your announcers when they talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, my stance would be, you know, Doc, Macias has got whatever that red goo is dripping out of his mouth. He's obviously trying to psych out his opponent. Let's see if it works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've said something that makes sense. It's logical. And now, you know, and part of getting your product over is you. John Madden was a Super Bowl coach. You know, Bill Parcells, Jimmy Johnson, Boomer Esiason was a superstar, a Super Bowl quarterback.
Yep.
You know, Terry Bradshaw won 4 Super Bowls. You've got to, you know, if they start talking stupid, you know, you're going to think, what are they smoking, for Christ's sake, or are they on hallucinogenics or what?
Right.
See? So, I mean, that's what Matt was getting at. And that's one of my problems. Our business is over the top by the nature of our business. And to exaggerate what's already exaggerated just, to me, makes it buffoonery and cartoonish, that's all.
I'll
shut up and go on with
mine.
Go on with your life. I don't know. There's other things. I got to mention I'm going to be in Richmond, Virginia for Ground Zero Wrestling the 14th, 15th, and 16th of March. You can go to their website. Yes, gxwwrestling.com, or give Dave McLeod a call at 804-356-0583. And I would like some of the people to listen to the show that if you are wrestlers, join us for one of these things.
Yeah,
and honestly, come on out. I'd be tickled to death. I guess the TNA pay-per-view was pretty decent, except all the run-ins for the finishes and that sort of thing is kind of standard issue.
The pay-per-views seem to be so much better than the Impacts.
Yeah,
are there two different people writing these?
No, No, it's I don't know. I shouldn't say no. I really don't know. You know. Well, you know, it's this whole thing like with Petey Williams and Scott Steiner. You've got one case, and now you're going to put it on. You got the took the wrong case when you had a choice. And I mean, what this thing has been drug out beyond my comprehension to where it makes any, you know, where anybody cares anymore.
Right.
And,
don't confuse.
And the other point is, this is kind of like the rat thing. Okay, Scott, you've got a case. You may have picked the wrong one, but you still got one. Okay, mm-hmm. Petey, you got one. Now we're going to have you guys in a match where somebody's going to win both the cases. And I'm going to say, hey, screw you.
Right.
I've got a case. I'm not giving it up.
Right.
I want it to begin with, right?
Right.
I mean, so there's no logic, L-O-G-I-C, to this, okay?
Don't confuse
the So for you experts out there who think there is, then I want you drug tested,
right.
Okay? Please.
Listeners, do not confuse the longevity of the suitcase angle with a buildup, because this is not a buildup.
Or if you find this logical, please send me a pound of what you're smoking so I can find it logical as well.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, and I'm being facetious when I say that before somebody says, Les is asking, soliciting marijuana on the air.
Yeah, we never said weed.
Well, you know what? I don't call it ganja, reefer, weed. I don't care what you call it. I'm not soliciting. I'm being sarcastic. I don't really want anybody to send me anything. Okay?
Except cash.
Whatever.
Blank checks.
Or you'll
nice.
you'll have the federales checking my mail for Christ's sake.
I got
enough aggravation as it is.
Guys, if you want to check out when Les's clinics are, if you need all that info, you can go to lesthatcher.com or epwt.com. It's
got all the info. Let me mention too. Going to Mobile for their Gulf Coast Wrestlers reunion, which is the weekend of 7-8. John Saxon is running a high impact wrestling HIW, who was part of the deal I was with in Natchez. I may get a chance to work with an old buddy of mine, Charlie Platt, who we did the Southeastern show out of Dothan together back in '80. Anyway, John's trying to get Charlie to hook up with us. The show is going to run the Saturday night after, at the end of the the reunion, a bunch of the old guys, Donnie Fargo, Cowboy Bob Kelly, I'm not sure who all is going to show up for this thing, but I mean, they're not going to be wrestling, obviously, but
mm-hmm.
They'll be at the show, and then it's going to be put on DVD, too. I'm not sure what building or anything like that, but it's in Mobile, and if you are a wrestler, if you've worked in the industry as a ring announcer, a referee, or promoter, or anything, young guys, old guys, in-between guys are invited to the reunion. It's a lot of fun.
Sweet,
and,
man.
Anyway, the show is that Saturday night, the 8th, and we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, go on down if you're in the area, guys. We've got Rob Van Dam. He's going to be on the program tonight. He's our featured guest. We're going to take a break, though, right now.
Let me apologize for babbling on here, but you got me started.
I should have known better, Les.
Yes. Yes, you should. Yes, you should. You wound
me
up.
It's all my
fault. Yes.
Bruce Mitchell for the PW Torch is coming on for Hot Topic. He's going to be talking about, SmackDown leaving the CW network. We're going to get into that a little bit. We've got a lot of news to get to, and we're going to do all that for you. Coming up after this, hang around. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin's Raven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
You remember her as WCW Babe Major Guns. But now Tylene Buck wants to show you another side of her.
I'm not shy at telling you what I'm like and what I want. So if you're looking for a good teacher, I'm the girl for you. The more crazy you can get, the more fun I have.
Here is your chance to interact with Tylene and watch her on webcam directly from her own bedroom.
Stacy Keebler is a whiner.
Please join Tylene for her Bates on Demand webcam shows, available free to members of ShowdownNetwork.com and AudioWrestling.com.
This year is going to be a kick-ass year for me, and I hope it's a kick-ass year for all you guys, too. Bye.
Wrestling-Radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
Hey, you America, Hulk Hogan here, greatest of all times. Are you guys ready? My main man, Bubba the Love Sponge, is back. Get ready, America.
The hottest morning show in the United States has come home. Don't miss Bubba the Love Sponge, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Showdown Network.
Can you break the code? Can you break the code?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
Tell us, O Savior, what's so important that you had to come back? What exactly are you saving us from?
They're back!
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Everybody, Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, he is from the Pro Wrestling Torch over at pwtorch.com. Columnist, does the Monday Night Raw recaps and a lot of other good stuff.
And one of the outstanding educators in the North Carolina school system, we might
have.
Oh,
yeah. Bruce
there
Mitchell.
There you go. Bruce. Nationally board certified.
Bruce, thanks for being on Wrestling Weekly tonight, man.
But before we get to Hot Topic, what we talked about just before we came back on the air, a startling revelation that was fed to us by Bruce is that Johnny Fairplay walked away from Survivor.
Wow.
That's just scary.
Well, I don't think I broke that story. I think millions of people saw it. But, yeah, it was Johnny had worked really hard to get back to All-Star Survivor, and he the first week he had everything his way. He had the two tribes, and I'm not a Survivor expert, but he had the two tribes, one of which was his team, and the other which he had talking to him, and, there were guys that were saying, this is the perfect guy to stir it up, and we'll keep him until the Final Four or something, and he just looked up and goes, my girlfriend Michelle is 7 months pregnant, and I want to go see my, you know, I want to be there for my daughter. And I don't know, Les, you know who he named his daughter after, right?
No.
This is incredible. He named his daughter Piper.
Piper?
After Roddy Piper. As you may remember, before he was on Survivor, he was Roddy Piper's assistant. And
yeah.
There was
yeah.
a big car crash, and it didn't turn out so well. But now there's been a reunion of Roddy Piper and Johnny Fairplay.
Wow. Well, him walking away from this thing, I mean, the repercussions of that in terms of him as a reality star could be far-reaching. I mean, that could kill him as a reality star, right?
I guess so. I mean, either there's the sentiment of he went home to his family, and the big villain now turns babyface, or I don't know. The one thing I would bring into it, if you remember, speaking of big time superstars in entertainment, Danny Bonaducci, he had that incident with Danny Bonaducci, and
right.
hurt his mouth pretty badly, and that he went to Survivor like right after that happened. So I don't know if that affected it or not. But, I was shocked. I mean, I'm a guy that loves attention the way he does, and a guy who was really wanted to be back on Survivor, and finally got a shot back. And
maybe he knew he was getting a TNA contract and didn't care.
I can't imagine that would. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine.
What is the story with the TNA contract? Is he signing a contract with TNA?
He was at the tapings last night, and he's going back. I think the next taping, and he brought what's the guy's name? Truck or Tank? But there's a guy on Survivor who. Part of the fans contingent that is this 6'3", 6'4", big, you know, big huge guy that I think they're looking into training. So that wants to be in pro wrestling. So
is that the Afro American guy?
No, it's the it's a newer guy, and I hate using this term, but he does look the part. He's a big guy, but you know,
yeah.
You know how throwing a guy in the ring way too soon, but I know TNA's interested, but we'll see. But no, he hasn't signed a contract yet. I think when he talked about signing a contract, that was premature.
Nah. All right. Well, let's get down to business. On Thursday, guys, it was announced that SmackDown would be leaving the CW network at the end of the broadcast season. According to reports, the final episode of Friday Night SmackDown is going to be on September 12th later this year. It looks like My Network TV would be the front runner for where WWE is going to take the show next, which I hope this isn't the case because I don't have My Network TV. And I know about 10% of the country don't either. I don't know if you can confirm that, Bruce.
Well, I can't confirm who they're talking to. I mean, I know that I cannot confirm who they're talking to, who they're not talking to.
Do you have My Network TV is what I mean.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
You know, it would be the logical choice in that what SmackDown brings to a network, it's a good fit for what CW was, which was a new network trying to get a base and trying to attract an audience in any way they could. Mm-hmm. And once they got that audience, now they've grown a little bit. Now they have CW, I guess, is trying to position themselves as a network that has a lot of women's programming and has a name for itself. And the thing that pro wrestling brings, that WWE brings, is it brings a loyal audience. They'll come and watch the show and give their ratings, you know, give their weekly ratings a boost. The problem is, wrestling fans watch that show, and then they don't stay and watch. I mean, I couldn't even name something on CW Network, but they don't watch.
Exactly. That you just proved
everything
it.
Else.
I'll tell you guys, One Tree Hill. It's a North Carolina show, Bruce.
There you go, One Tree Hill in North Carolina.
Les watches.
I'm a big fan of teenage teenage soap opera dramas. I can't get enough of those. But
you know what? My wife and I got locked into that thing. We really have. It's a good show. Anyway, go ahead.
It could be, so that's kind of a problem. And then there's also just the demographics of wrestling, lower economic demographics, and there's not a lot of money in those demographics. So that's your advertising dollar, they can't charge as much as they could for the normal show that had you know, medium demographics in the same slot. So you look at my network makes sense in that their fledgling network, that's where CW was a few years ago, and they're in basic cable. And so I can see where, I mean, that was the first one I thought of. It's like, okay, where are they going to go? And that's, you know, I don't figure USA. I can't figure USA doing two nights of wrestling a week. And you know, they have a big relationship with NBC, but the writer strike is ending, and I can't imagine NBC doing that for. So you start looking at what networks are out there that are fit. And my network is the one that seems like a fit, but I don't know who they're talking to. I haven't heard any reports like that.
What about something like MTV?
You know, MTV, it would be like the ECW sci-fi situation where they wouldn't fit their programming, but they might give them a boost in, you know, they might give them a boost in the ratings, but it'd still be with all the same detriment too, that they just bring an audience and then the audience would go back. So I don't know. I mean, I guess that's possible, but that seems a little, I don't know. That seems a little unlikely too. I don't know if MTV would want that or not, but MTV doesn't draw. You know, those reality shows they make on the cheap, you know, they don't draw much of a rating at all. So, I mean, I guess in that situation, it's possible.
You know, Bruce, did you think when they moved SmackDown from Thursday, which is a strong television night, to Friday, that the network was sort of losing their excitement or SmackDown was losing its luster to them?
Well, it might have been, you know, it might be because Friday night is, you know, just traditionally not a TV night. The people that they're looking for, that 18 to 35 demographic that spends money, a lot of people are out on Friday nights, you know, where somewhere else besides watching television. It's been that way for years and years and years. Now Saturday is worse. Saturday is even more of a ghetto for television. But the one thing I'll say about SmackDown moving to Friday that I think kind of gets overlooked, and I wonder whether they'd want to keep SmackDown on Friday at whatever network that they're at, is WWE, particularly since mixed martial arts has gotten so big, really has been saved by the kids' audience, by the kids and the women, but definitely the kids' audience. And the kids' audience, I know this is not from my scientific research, but from, as you said, I'm an educator. I teach third grade, and wrestling is as over with third graders and with elementary school kids in my school as it was during the Monday Night Wars. And most of those kids watched Friday Night SmackDown because they could stay up an hour later and stay up till 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And they can watch you know, wrestling then, where Monday nights,
and
it starts
more
at 9 o'clock, and most of them, you know, they got to go to bed before 11 o'clock. Or
the network show's a little more tame, too, right?
Yeah, the network show's a little more tame, too. So, I mean, and it's got Rey Mysterio, who's a big kid's favorite. Batista is larger than life. They like Batista, like, you know, same thing with Undertaker. And so I wonder whether, you know, Thursday night has more of an audience. But it's going to be interesting what they do. You know, interesting, do they do that? You know, does SmackDown change a little bit, become raunchier? And not that it's not raunchy, you know, definitely for kids' shows it's not raunchy, but does it change a little bit or not? So, I think this story is really a big story, and I've been surprised that there's not as much reaction to it. Because
let me ask you a question now. Linda McMahon, at her teleconference, mentioned that you know, they'd stepped away from the table, that dollars and cents were probably the issue. But she, you know, her statement was I'm not even sure how, you know, exactly the words she used, but basically that we're looking to wherever we go for more money. You think she's hallucinating?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it depends on if it's one network. If it's, say, MyTV has an interest and nobody else has an interest, then yeah, I'd say she's hallucinating. But there's more than one network. And the one thing about SmackDown and Raw and WWE is it brings a loyal audience and a good cable rating, you know, and a good rating. You know, I mean, SmackDown has lost some of its luster as far as ratings goes, but still a good, dependable rating. So if they can get more than one network interested in it, they may be able to get that. And also, it's a negotiating ploy, I would suspect, where you want to deal from a position of strength. So you know, I don't know. We'll see where it goes. But you know, they've not gotten advertising out of their deal. You know, it just depends on lately. So networks have sold the advertising. So we'll see whether they want to get back into that, or do they want just to get the rights to be the big thing. And they had good, you know, they had good news today in their quarterly,
their
quarterly investors meeting. So that should help them. That should help them with negotiating.
I've read a couple places that people have speculated sci-fi, but I think that would mean the demise of ECW. I can't believe them carrying two shows, and obviously with SmackDown being 2 hours, and the more important of the two shows, don't you think that, I mean, that would basically shoot ECW out of the saddle?
Yeah, it would, and you have to ask whether is sci-fi so excited about ECW that they'd want to bring in, you know, a bigger show and put 2 hours on a you know, weekday night or during prime time. And I suspect they're probably happy enough with ECW,
yeah,
and not happy too. You know, it doesn't fit everything else they do. So
you know,
I don't know. I never thought of sci-fi. I thought ECW would stay with sci-fi, you know, through their contract and then see how the rating is. I don't see them upgrading to SmackDown.
Yeah, in that respect too, don't you think with the whole evolving of what ECW, everyone expected, and of course what it's become, I think the comfortable fit now is it's a place for guys to get their, you know, it's like the entry level television of the main company, and it's a place for guys to develop and be brought along, and they're not hugely concerned if it doesn't do a 3.5 or something, then nobody's going to get really terribly upset about it. So I would think they would want to keep it in place anyway.
Yeah, I think the WWE would want, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there's a certain use to ECW that exactly what you said, that it gets guys an entry-level television exposure. And I think that, I'll put it like this, I think TNA is much more excited about the ratings race between Impact and ECW than WWE is. I don't think WWE is all that concerned about
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, yeah. Well, you know, when I... And then was Angle did an interview in Germany or England or someplace last week where he said that TNA was breathing down WWE's neck, and I thought,
I always get the impression that Kurt Angle gets really excited to do those interviews, and he gets so excited that things kind of get away from him a little bit.
Yeah, they do, don't they? They tend to do that.
I have the perfect solution for SmackDown and where they should go. If they took Hornswoggle and his TNT plunger and traded them over to SmackDown, the Cartoon Network will snap it up like that.
You know, I mean, he is a cartoon. The one thing I'll say for him, it's not exactly my cup of tea, but the guy does a good job in his role. I mean, I really think his facial expressions are really good.
He does fine.
I mean, he's a good performer. I have to give him some respect.
You know, I said this to Brian Alvarez. I'm going to say it. You know what? If I had a $5 bill for every time I've heard a wrestling journalist over the last 2 years say, well, it's good for what it is, I could retire and never miss a beat.
You know, I actually try to avoid that phrase, but I guess that's what I was saying, yeah.
Yeah.
But I want to say more than that. I mean, he's a good performer. I mean,
you know, I went off on a rant earlier about this, Bruce, but you know what? It's true. It's like he is good at what he does, you know.
Yeah.
And of all the tomfoolery and nonsensical things that both these companies throw out there that I'd like to see them throw out the door instead of out there in front of me, there's the odd thing like Hornswoggle. I mean, it's the concept is stupid, the illegitimate son and against Kali and all that, but he has that little character, and I'm sure, you know, I'm sure a bunch of the kids, you know, get off on it too.
Yeah, I think you could have that, if you have one goofy thing or two goofy things in the course of 2 hours, you can definitely, you're okay if you've got your main events, you know, going strong. And I think WWE, I mean, I thought last night they did some, Raw did some basic stuff with John Cena and Randy Orton, and did some stuff with that excellent match with Shawn Michaels and Jeff Hardy to build up the Elimination Chamber. If you got that stuff in place, then you're not, you know, you can get a little irritated for a little bit or whatever, but you can get away with some silliness. But if everything's silly and everything on top is silly, it's just one more reason to grind your teeth. And I'm not referring to any specific promotion, TNA Impact, but you know, I think if you got some balance going on, it helps.
You're referring to all of them, actually.
Yeah,
pretty consistent. Yeah.
Bruce, we're running out of time, but I want to thank you for coming on. Guys, check out Bruce's columns over at pwtorch.com. Get a subscription. They're cool.
Hey, try to slip up to, don't forget, Richmond, Virginia.
14th, 15th, and 16th. Okay.
Of March, yeah.
Of March. You know, I'm actually looking to visit my uncle up there. So
all right.
I may be able to work that out.
Cool, man. I look forward to seeing you. You and your slim, trim physique.
Get a ring a ring announcing gig before then, and you're cool.
Okay.
This is a whole different thing. He can come. This is not.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
this is me standing outside the ring going, no, I'm not getting in there so Les can stretch me. No,
Steve Johnson lives up that
way. Les is really nice to me until he gets me in and goes, let me show you this.
No, I don't have an axe to grind with you, Bruce.
I know.
I don't want to get on your bad side and have you spew your sarcastic wit at me. But you know what? Dave Chappelle lives up that way, who does, you know, the Mid-Atlantic Gateway with
I definitely impressed with
him, Dick, yeah. And Steve Johnson's up there. Dickie Steinborn's supposed to show up. So, you know, hell, we can have a good weekend.
Yeah, that'd be fun. And I'm a big fan of Steve Johnson. Those books that he and Greg Oliver do are tremendous.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. But anyway, if you can make it, man, I look forward to seeing you.
All right, Les, I appreciate that.
Bruce, best of luck to you. We'll talk to you again in a few weeks, my friend.
All right, Doc.
Take care, man.
You too.
Bruce Mitchell, guys, here on Wrestling Weekly. We got
that was Bruce, yes.
Yes, we got some news to get to before we go to our featured guest tonight with Rob Van Dam. Guys, the reason that Triple H missed the two Monday Night Raw tapings in Austin came out last week, of course, he wasn't there, which meant he wasn't there last night because last night's show was taped. Previously, but his brother.
What did you just say?
I don't know. I have no
you
idea.
Lie, but that's okay. Hey, move on.
Triple H's brother-in-law passed away a couple of weeks
ago,
which is why he wasn't at that set of tapings. Our condolences do go out to the family and friends. While there is a rumor that Stephanie is pregnant again, it has not been confirmed by a reputable source. We should have asked Bruce while he was here. Stephanie is said to be going.
Were you trying to blame Bruce?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying we should have asked him.
Okay.
Stephanie is said to be going through a hard time right now, of course, with what's going on in the family right now with the loss of the brother-in-law. There's some pictures floating around the internet of a pregnant Stephanie, but that could very well be from her first pregnancy. Don't be fooled, guys. Of course, if we find out either way, we'll post it here on WrestlingWeekly.com. According to PW Insider, the April issue of Playboy is the month that is set to feature Maria.
Yeah, well, let me confirm that because my current Playboy, if you subscribe to Playboy, in the very back cover, they list the fall next. I've got the March issue here, and there is a picture of your girl Maria, the WWE's Maria.
I can't wait.
Gets Raw.
Can't wait.
The WWE's sexiest star has moved from innocent reporter to mistress of the mat.
Oh, yeah.
Now her pesky tights are peeled off in a slamming pictorial.
I like the sound.
I knew you would. Yes, of course you and
it's very rare.
Omar,
it's very rare that I get at Playboy, but this month,
right,
this next month,
it's very rare that you
one.
Pass one up. What are you talking about?
The Fayette County Sheriff's Office in Georgia, guys, said it's closed its investigation today of the killings at Chris Benoit's house last June. This, of course, is a formality, but it does go officially on the record that Chris did kill his wife, his 7-year-old son, back in June, and there's no more investigation on it. So basically, that came out officially today.
Yeah, I also heard that Hustler magazine got the nod from the courts.
Yes.
In terms of them being allowed to use the pictures of Nancy, which I feel bad about, is kind of it's tasteless, but I understand.
Yeah, Nancy's family sued, trying to get a temporary restraining order to stop the issue from coming out, but they did lose in court.
And I did hear that possibly both families would be suing WWE for wrongful death.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know that to be.
I should have known that was coming anyway.
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know. There again, I don't know the legalities. I don't know, I understand that
from Chris's side, his dad is, you've heard his dad say that they should have known that, you know, he needed time off or help or, you know, whatever. And of course, you know, this just, you know, regurgitates up a lot of, you know,
feelings.
Things again. I don't have to reiterate here how, you know, my love for that family, for Chris and Nancy and the baby, and you know, it's just, but in this day and age, everybody's lawsuit crazy anyway, and I don't know what, you know, what it will benefit. Anyway, I don't know. I'm really not sure how I feel about that. But anyway, I am kind of glad that the whole thing is over, and let these people lay to rest and be at peace, for Christ's sake. You
know? The CBC network aired a presentation of their documentary called A Fight to the Death last Wednesday in Canada. This was the Chris Benoit documentary that, in my opinion, was done really well. It wasn't over-sensationalized like the CNN documentary was. Of course, it was only available in Canada, but you can watch the entire show online at cbc.ca/fifth. There's a link to the show at our message boards in the wrestling forums. Just click on the forum links at wrestlingweekly.com to get the web address for the documentary if you want to check that out. PW Insider is reporting that Rory McAllister of the Highlanders tag team has suffered a complete pectoral tear and underwent surgery yesterday to repair it. His pectoral is torn completely off the bone. McAllister stated on his MySpace page that he wasn't even sure how he suffered the injury in the first place, but he knew something was wrong, and WWE sent him to be examined immediately. When the surgeons opened him up, it was discovered that the tear was actually a lot worse than they expected. There's no word right now at this time on how long he's going to be out for.
Yeah, that's going to, well, you know, you don't realize how that pectoral muscle is the movement that's involved in your chest until something like that happens.
Right.
You know? But I mean, you roll your shoulders, move your body, you move your arm forward or backward, lift it up. You know, there's some movement to the chest. So,
are you speaking from experience? Have you had a pec tear?
No, okay. No. I knock on wood. I have not. I have never had a torn pec or bicep. Thank God. I've seen them, you know, and they can be pretty bad. They can be devastating. And if they, you know, they had to, you know, some of them heal. They're cosmetically, they don't look the greatest in the world, but some will just heal, you know, without the surgery. But obviously, this one was bad enough it needed the surgery. So, yeah, it's you know,
speedy recovery to this man.
Yeah, let's hope so. Anyway.
Hope to see Rory back soon.
Sure.
Jake the Snake Roberts recently issued a statement on his MySpace page thanking WWE for offering to send him to rehab and sort out his personal issues. Also, if you're wondering where Ron Farouk Simmons has been in recent weeks, well, he also recently took up WWE's rehab offer as well, according to Dave Meltzer. Simmons is currently staying at the rehab center in Atlanta, and they think it's the same one that that Jake the Snake is at. Not sure.
Are you sure Ron Simmons or is it Scott Hall?
It was Ron Simmons. There are rumors about Scott Hall going to rehab also on the WWE offer, but that has not been confirmed 100%.
And I don't know if you heard this or read this, but apparently in an interview somewhere in the last few days, Juventud Guerrero mentioned that Sean Waltman had in depression, it can try to commit suicide.
Yes.
in Mexico, and he has been institutionalized or hospitalized. I'm not sure of the proper wording of that here in the States. And I like Sean's a good, honestly, you know, when Sean's right. I mean, he's a good kid. He really is.
Yeah.
I hate to hear that about him. I thought him and the girlfriend had settled in Mexico, and, you know.
That'd be that.
You know, sorry to hear that happened.
Yeah, so best of luck to all of them, and hopefully they come out on the other side a lot better than they went in. TNA Wrestling is offering his first ever head coaching job to Bob Knight.
Let's go past that bullshit. Come on. You know, that's not news.
It did happen.
That's cheap heat.
That
bad.
Is cheap heat, my
it's
friends.
It's not news.
I was going to actually go through the whole thing before I said that, but that is cheap heat. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's not, please. And if somebody's going to be mad at me for throwing down on Doc about this, then you can kiss my ass, too, because, quite frankly, this. I mean, I don't even want to get vulgar. Like,
I almost got through that with
my granddaughters might be listening to the show, but that's not news. That's crap.
For those wondering why the crowd was so hot at Sunday night's Against All Odds pay-per-view in South Carolina, Jeremy Borash told the fans in the audience before the event began that the 200 loudest fans would get backstage passes. According to multiple live reports that have been received from the event all over the internet, TNA did not hold up to their end of the deal. Wow. Now, I can't confirm 100% that TNA did not hold up their end of this deal, but I did talk to some people specifically that were in the audience, and they didn't see any signs of anybody being brought backstage, much less 200 people.
Why? You know, why? Well, see, I mean, that's absurd anyway, to think, I mean, that you need 200 people backstage
that have no business
being there to start with. And
they had some pretty bad attendance problems at that show.
Well, they had one whole side of the building shut off.
Right.
And, I mean,
They papered that door.
I mean, well, you know, and see here, you don't have to like me. I really don't care. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to see eye to eye with me. But the stuff that they're putting out there, and they're going on the road and drawing, well, I don't know, 2,000 people paid attendance in a building that size. You know, for a major band, it's something needs to be done. And if they, I mean, this is not about being an expert. This, I mean, if this, you know, if it were a rock and roll band and they were booking a 15,000 seat stadium and they only have 2,000 people in it, I'd say that band needs to go to a smaller venue because it's way over its head. And so it's not about wrestling or TNA or it's just common sense. You know,
I think the venue was 6,000 seats.
Well, whatever it is, but still, well, that's still, you know, you realize it's still they only got a third of the seats filled, right? I mean, at 2,000, and
yeah,
if they had the 6,000 seat venue, they had to shut one whole side off on it. That's so. Let's assume that they put 3,000 people in the place,
yeah,
right, and they gave away 1,000, maybe 1,000, at least 1,000 of those seats.
Right.
Which is not, let me say this before we go, WWE paper, so it puts paper out there too, you know, to fill their buildings. But, again, it comes back to, you know, when you see the numbers of the buy rates on the TNA pay-per-views and then to see the paid attendance, somebody needs, you know, hello,
right.
Reality check, all this silliness is not doing you any good. We did a 1.2.
Right.
How much did you make for that?
Right.
Did that help pay the bills? Did that put any money in the company's pocket? Did it help pay the wrestlers? Did it help pay the transportation?
Right.
If the answer is no, then it doesn't matter.
And like we said earlier in the show, you know, the pay-per-views are usually much, much better than the impacts, but when you're putting out what they do on Impact, and they're saying, watch this pay-per-view, everybody's going to think the pay-per-view is more
the
same.
Well, you know, and here's the other thing, too. When you see what the pay-per-view numbers are, and apparently they're below what it normally would be for a break-even, then that's not good either. And let me say right here, for those who have never heard this statement before, I'm not anti-TNA. I am very pro-professional wrestling. I hope TNA does push WWE, and I hope ABC Wrestling, whoever the hell that is, comes behind and pushes both of them. That's good for the industry. That's good for that means that there's actually some people going to have to actually learn to work to headline all these shows, and it's good across the board. So I'm not. Listen, I don't want to see that. I don't make a dime off of TNA, and you know, I want to see them succeed because it's good for the industry.
Right. He's not anti-TNA, guys. He's anti-stupidity.
I'm anti-crap.
Yeah,
that's what I'm anti-crap.
Rhino has been gone from TNA Wrestling since he no-showed their Turning Point pay-per-view back in December. According to those close to him, Rhino has been out dealing with neck problems and some family issues. Now that he's back, the storyline that they're going to go with is that he has been away due to problems stemming from a relapse of alcoholism that were caused from his program with James Storm. Rhino will be out to seek revenge on Storm.
They're not going to have a drinking contest?
Well, maybe he'll fight for the TNA Drinking Championship.
Whatever.
The TNA Drinking Champion. I'm not even going to get into that.
Please don't.
No.
Please.
One of the major carriers of pay-per-views in Canada has dropped the Ring of Honor pay-per-views due to lack of buys. According to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, one of the recent Ring of Honor pay-per-view offerings only mustered about 36 buys nationwide. This is alarming since Ring of Honor does have television on Fight Network in Canada. TNA isn't doing much better in Canada. One of the recent TNA pay-per-views only drew a few hundred pay-per-view buys. At this point, only UFC and WWE draw serious buy numbers in Canada. How dare you Canadians not buy Ring of Honor pay-per-views?
You know, it's a shame because, I mean, now there's some matches. I mean, there's tag scrambles and stuff I could live without, too. But, I mean, they have some good, solid stuff. And you know, it's a shame that the more people aren't exposed to it because I think they would do a lot better, obviously.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think Ring of Honor has the money to get the word out there. Like,
No. You know, that let me say that. I think Kerry and Gabe have a good business plan. And I admire them for sticking to it. They have no delusions of grandeur. They're not interested in taking over the world. Their growth has been slow. And their money is made off of the DVD and tape sales.
Right.
And, you know, in fact, if you remember, they have cut back on some of the talent. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of having 40 guys. And I applaud that because I've gone into some of the dressing room and I'm thinking, my God, there's more, you know. What are all these people doing here? Plus, four-hour shows are just too much. Honestly, I mean, it is. That's just too much. So they've cut back, you know, due to expense. I don't know, you know, for what reason. Obviously, they do. But, no, I think they have a business plan. They haven't tried to expand too fast. They've got the deal they worked out with Noah where, you know, the exchange of talent, putting some of their guys in Japan and vice versa. It's just... I think it's a good mix. I don't see them growing too much larger. They're going to, you know, they have their first Florida show due to, you know, Mania. They'll be in there, the same time period, the weekend of Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but again, they haven't, you know, and the other part is they, when they go in someplace and, then, you know, after they've given it a couple of shots, if it doesn't bode well for them, then they don't beat it to death. You know, they pull out and move on. So I think that's good. They don't have, bottomless pockets, and,
right.
You know, they can't afford a $20 million loss and all that. And I think so. You know, again, I admire them sticking to the business plan, and they found their niche, and they're doing well with it.
Does Ring of Honor have to pay out to be carried by pay-per-view?
The pay-per-view gets something per buy, sure.
Right.
I mean, they don't just throw things up there and let you collect the money. If they did, we'd put you up there, Doc.
You think Ring of Honor needs to drop their pay-per-views and just
focus
on DVDs?
I don't know what, you know, now. The numbers you just quoted to me are the first numbers I've heard. So, obviously, that's not, 36 buys nationwide. But see, that's the other thing, too, is they've never been in Canada. So maybe they don't have the exposure. Now, what are the buy rates here? I don't have a clue.
Right.
You know, so I have nothing to judge them by.
Well, it's so much the fact that 36 buys and the fact that they're on national television in Canada.
Now, national television at what time? And when you say national television, and you were just talking about you don't have the My Network. I do.
Right.
Bruce does. A portion of the country doesn't. Well, what kind of network are they on in Canada?
They're on the Fight Network in Canada, but
oh, okay.
I don't know what time or what day they're on.
Okay.
But I know it's pretty far-reaching.
How much saturation does the Fight Network have? I mean, I when I say this, I don't really know.
Right.
You know?
Only a Canadian can tell us this.
Well, this is true, and we're not allowed to call them.
Okay. We've been
Doc's mommy said we're not allowed to talk to
we've
Canadians.
Been bordered into this into this country. We may not have contact outside of this little patch of land.
It's a sad commentary on who we are, but
yeah. See, it happens. Quickly, guys, let's run down the results for TNA Against All Odds pay-per-view in case you missed it. AJ Styles and Tom Coe defeated B.G. James and Bullet Bob Armstrong to retain the TNA World Tag Team Championships. Tracy Brooks defeated Peyton Banks, who you might know as Rain from the Indies. Les, I don't know if you're familiar with Rain.
Sure, it comes when it's not too cold, when it's not cold enough to snow.
Let me try this again. Les, I know you're familiar with the wrestler Rain, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Scott Steiner defeated Petey Williams in a case versus case match. Eric Young defeated James Storm to retain the TNA Drinking Championship. Oh God!
That's what I spent $35 for.
Oh, yeah.
I just, you know.
But it was a regular match. But the championship is called the Drinking Championship.
Who cares?
Jeez. Awesome Kong defeated ODB to retain the TNA Women's Championship. Abyss defeated Judas Messias in the Barbed Wire Massacre 2. Booker T versus Robert Roode ended in a double countout, which I was disappointed about. I figured at least give one of them the rub, if you're going to do that. Black Machismo, Jay Lethal, and the Motor City Machine Guns defeated Team 3D and Johnny Devine in a six-man street fight. Lethal captured the TNA X Division title. And Kurt Angle defeated Christian Cage to retain the TNA World Heavyweight Championship in a match that a lot of people called so great could be a match of the year candidate.
I don't know about that, but the finish was not so great because of all the run-ins and the
finish was god-awful.
And they're trying to make, you know, here's the thing. People want to buy into Tom Coe. They want him to be a babyface and his whole... you know, they're trying. It's like, why did he do what he did? I don't know. It was just stupid because some idiot wrote it that way. It's why he did it. But,
right.
but I mean, it's just, you know, there again. Sometimes, listen, I you've heard me say it. If I'm working a match, the fans don't dictate what I do in that ring.
Mm-hmm.
You pay attention to them and try to take them along with you, but they don't dictate. But there are times when they should, you know. If you feel that the people, you know, are getting behind Topco, then it's, hey, let's swing him in that direction.
Right.
Because that's a plus for us. No, let's go the other way.
Right, because we didn't plan it.
That's what I see happening. And that was, you know, it's plus it's confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. When Christian is not a baby face, but he is a baby face, and it's just, you know, come on.
I kind of lost track.
I know, it's some brilliant... 18-year-old's going to tell me, well, you know, they don't have baby faces anymore. No, they do if you build them, just like they have heels if you build them. You
just
know?
Like movies have bad guys.
Yeah, well, yes, that's true.
Someone's
but,
a hate.
But, I mean, the point is I just don't think that the ending of that match was – and I just get really bored with all the run-ins anyway. It's just there – we were talking earlier what's kind of kills – it's like who cares?
Right.
You know, you start looking to the ramp. It's okay. Who's coming next, or when are they coming? You know, it's not like there's no surprise to it. So
yeah.
And that's the element that you have in your favor is the only element at
right.
this point in time.
And they don't look at the ramp after the first guy runs down or the second guy runs down. They look at the ramp when they see that the match might end.
Yes, exactly. Yes, and I'm telling you, I've heard bookers say this going back to the 70s. You know, once you get them looking, you know, the people watching the dressing room door opposing the match, then they've figured you out and you're done.
Yep, absolutely. Guys, we've got Rob Van Dam, our featured guest. He is going to be on in just a few minutes answering your questions. Now's time. Join us in the chat room if you haven't already at WrestlingWeekly.com. Click on the chat link and you can submit your questions. We'll ask some good ones for him. And, of course, we've got a lot of talk
with Rob Van Dam. He's got the new Rob TV, RVD TV coming out. We're going to talk about that. It's going to be cool stuff. You're listening to Doc and Les here on Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back to finish the show up right after this.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
You remember her as WCW Babe Major Guns. But now Tylene Bud wants to show you another side of her.
I'm not shy at telling you what I'm like and what I want. So if you're looking for a good teacher, I'm the girl for you. The more crazy you get, the more fun I have.
Here is your chance to interact with Tylene and watch her on webcam directly from her own bedroom.
Stacy Keebler is a whiner.
Please join Tylene for her Bates on Demand webcam shows, available free to members of ShowdownNetwork.com and AudioWrestling.com.
This year is going to be a kick-ass year for me, and I hope it's a kick-ass year for all you guys, too. Bye.
Can you break the rules? Can you break?
You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
Telephone Savior, what's so important that you had to come back? What exactly are you saving us from?
They're back!
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done, log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows, such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the Internet by storm, Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin Raven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT on WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
Hey, you America! Hulk Hogan here, greatest of all times. Are you guys ready? My main man, Bubba the Love Sponge, is back. Get ready, America!
The hottest morning show in the United States has come home. Don't miss Bubba the Love Sponge, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Showdown Network.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally. You pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Design.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Welcome back, guys, to Wrestling Weekly. Doc Young alongside my broadcast partner, Les Thatcher, on the line right now is our featured guest for tonight. He is the former WWE and ECW World Champion, the one and only Rob Van Dam. I had to do it just like that, my friend.
Hey, man, you were using your thumbs, weren't you?
I was.
That's cool, man. I could tell.
I had my headphones
you know,
on.
You know, Doc, where I want to start this, and I want to say to Rob, I admire the fact that when you felt burned out or displeased or whatever, that you stepped away from the business and that you got your comic book store, you know, as a backup. You've invested, and your family is so important. And I want to say I take my hat off to you for that.
Well, I appreciate it, Les. You know, it's it really just became about business for me. And as you know, this is a business that you just can't do it if you don't have the love and the passion to drive you through. And it was a long time ago that got burnt out, and it just got worse and worse and more challenging. And I found towards the end that I wasn't even able to maintain anymore. I felt myself slipping downhill. I was getting careless. I was starting to leave things in hotel rooms and get clumsy. And it's just, you know, the whole time I was homesick. I didn't want to be where I was going. I didn't enjoy what I was doing anymore. And so really, there was just no question about it. My contract was coming up. And so it wasn't like I quit or anything like that. I finished my job. I was contracted to do the job. It ran out in June. And then I just chose not to re-sign a new contract and commit myself to, you know, a new 2 or 3 year sentence.
Well, you know, the pressure's off now too, right? Yeah. You're not. I mean,
there's no pressure whatsoever right now. You know, everything is good. You know, now like a regular your regular Joe, I don't have money showing up every week like unless I go out and do it. You know, but I'm in a position right now where I'm able to take this time off, and I'm able to do it. But even if I wasn't able to do it, like, my spiritual health became much more important to me than anything else. You know, when I was telling people I wasn't going to resign, some of my friends or people in the business would say, oh, are you all set up? Do you have your house paid off and have enough money so you don't ever have to work again? Well, hell no, I'm not set up. So ever. I didn't win the, you know, unless I win the lottery, I'm not set for life. Of course, especially living in here up on a hill in Los Angeles, California, it's extremely, you know, expensive place to live, and I prefer the high quality of life. Reward for me that does mean a lot to me. But when it comes to just the health, mental, spiritual, all that, man, if I had to, I'd give it all up in pursuit of this search for inner peace, you know, that I'm on. So it's all good, and I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever that I'm on the right path, I'm doing the right thing. And when I chose not to resign, I clearly saw my path make a major turn, just as if it was a yellow line right down the middle of the street.
You know, I thought when I watched Sean Stasiak's DVD, you were at his conversation in your home, I thought was one of the most interesting parts. You mentioned your spiritual awareness and your comfort zone with that. And I think that's something that a lot of people, you know, I did a column on something about this when Bobby Lashley walked away, and I said, you know, it brings back to the mind that you know, Lesnar did, and then you did, and a lot of fans live vicariously through the guys, and so they just sort of, oh my God, how could he do that? I would never quit, but then they've never felt that pressure or that mental confusion that a lot of times the business brings about, and so they don't understand how you can step away from something that you truly love as well.
Right, and one thing that's funny about that, it's so easy for me to imagine the other side. If I asked any of them, would you do this? Hell no, they wouldn't do it. Oh, I thought you were just on TV once a week. You know, would you give up seeing your family, you know, for probably, you know, 20 days a month, you know, to travel 200-300 miles a night on an average, driving, flying anywhere from, you know, 2 to 6 days, oh, 7, sometimes 13. I think we did 16 days in a row flying and wrestling one time on a trip I was with. If you ask anybody, would you do that, you know, let alone could they survive 30 seconds in the ring. So how come they don't understand why we would want to break from it? I don't know. Like you said, they live vicariously through us, and that's good, you know, but then it becomes like
like a symbolic, like not real, you know. But unfortunately for us, we're the real players. And that's good, too. You know, I say unfortunately, but it's all good, you know. Hey, thank God for DVDs.
Yeah, exactly.
you guys, the listeners, you have to check out the Sean Stasiak DVD. Not only to hear what Rob says about, you know, about his spirituality, karma, things like that, which he really gets into, but he's got a beautiful house. It looks like a museum.
And yeah, I appreciate that. Also on RVD-TV, which is on my website, robvandam.com, you'll eventually see all over the house because we had the camera playing in the swimming pool. This last week's episode was actually my toy room, which is a bit out of control because I'm a lifelong collector of action figures and cool statues and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but,
TV is really up and running, and you've got 7 episodes out right now.
Yes, it's only been on like 6 weeks because I started with 2 episodes. And then after an episode airs, which is every Friday it comes out, then it goes into our archives, so you don't have to worry about missing the last 6 episodes. They're still there, too.
Excellent. And what can we see on RVD-TV?
Well, you know, the best way to describe it is it's this side of me that you're talking about. You know, the wrestling character, I'm glad that I earned a lot of fans that appreciated the flips, the bravery. I don't know what much more you could have got out of that. To me, it seemed kind of two-dimensional. The real person, the real me, the one that you're talking to, has a lot more majority of my life, you know, spent outside of wrestling on things that I'm more proud of, that I enjoy putting energy into more. I have my workouts on there, my actual instructional workouts of RVD-TV on there like once a month. I have myself interacting with friends and stuff in my real life. The one thing that I'm most proud of, it's a reoccurring episode feature called Friends in High Places.
Ah.
Yeah, you like the title there?
Hanging with the Stars.
And what this is inspired by my real, honest to God, you know, life that I have. I have these conversations with people all the time that are thought-provoking. They're sometimes quite intellectual, but they're just, you know, individual thoughts sharing on subjects that sometimes are ballsy to talk about, especially in a public format. You know, as a celebrity, if you say you're for or against abortion, you could have 50% of your fans hate you, you know.
Right.
I always encourage fans, you know, not to agree with me on everything, but I encourage their individuality. You know, we all have our own views. That's something that I've always obviously stood out as one of a kind, but I try and get everyone else, too, to celebrate, you know, their own views. It's our birthright. It's what God intended. You know, we all see everything differently. So I like to talk about subjects that I may not be an expert on. You know, I can talk with other people. We haven't researched this or anything, but just we throw it out there, you know. Justin McCauley, who's a UFC fighter, and Samoa Joe and I were filming one of the first episodes for RVD-TV, and I said, you know what, guys? I want to talk about the fact that wrestlers die so young. What do you think about that? And they were like, whoa, wow, that's pretty heavy, you know. But, yeah, let's talk about it because it's unprepared, it's honest, which I'm known for, and I'm quite proud, you know, of being genuine. You know, I've been doing all these interviews in media, and people are always, oh, my God, Rob, you're the most straightforward guy that we've ever talked to. You know, you're so honest and genuine. And, yeah, I am, you know, and that's something that will be consistent with me. On RVD-TV, you get to see that. And I have people that are they got their own fan bases. They could be actors, you know, like Andrew Bernarski and Jay Moore, comedian friend of mine. They could be musical artists like Taboo from Black Eyed Peas, Sin Dog from Cypress Hill. There could be other wrestlers like Chris Masters, and I know I mentioned Samoa, some UFC fighters I've shot so far. I filmed like Justin McCauley, Tito Ortiz, Team Punishment, Kendall Groves, Rude Boy, and I have a lot more. I just have a lot of friends. I live in Los Angeles. I have a lot of friends that are famous, you know. I'm going to be filming in a couple of weeks for some upcoming episodes, and fans are going to be like, wait, RVD hangs out with that guy from Star Trek? You know, I do a lot of signings at conventions, and I network, you know, and meet a lot of people. And you know, one show every single week, that's a lot of episodes. So you can expect a lot of variety. It'll be a lot of variety, but it's real to me, you know. So I don't really do, like, character skits and food fights and whatever. And, you know, that's not really, like, part of me. But
right. You know, Rob, back in the 70s with Southeastern Wrestling, I did a personality profile thing, and a lot of the old-timers said then, this is not going to fly, but it really got over. And I've said in recent years that if instead of doing a lot of the goofy skits, that they would do more of the real side of the guys to add more depth to the character, to the, you know, a different side of the coin, as it were, that it would probably hook people. Because I think, well, the thing back then that gave me the idea was, you know, what made NASCAR so strong was that, hey, man, I drive the same car that Junior Johnson drives, or so-and-so, you know. And I think if a fan who may sort of be a Rob Van Dam fan then hears, well, hey, Rob has the same hobby that I do, or he sees this particular subject in the same from the same view that I do, then
absolutely
that and ties him into you more and draws him to want to buy a pay-per-view or watch your match on TV.
It's good business that way, and spiritually you could be guiding people, helping them. You could help them try to learn more about themselves, you know, and you never know. I mean, you end up in a role model position where you could end up leading somebody in a positive way, you know, throughout my show. A lot of my friends, by the way, my wife, family, people that really know me, they think of me as a guru, all right? And I'm always trying to help people see things positive. Even before my spiritual awareness, I was involved in martial arts, which gave me my first perspective of Zen. So I've always, you know, tried to strive towards that inner peace. I also have a pretty even mannered nature. My mom and dad said that I've always been hard to upset, even as a kid. So then, you know, studying Zenful principles to apply towards my life, and now with spiritual awareness, it all goes hand in hand. Which I'll tell you, before talking to Sean, because I rode with Sean Stasiak through Mike Awesome, who now has passed away.
Right.
Mike Awesome and I were friends. When I got to WWE in 2001, I would ride with Mike Awesome, who was friends with Sean. But eventually, it was just me and Sean who became, you know, brothers. And before riding with Sean and having really deep conversations on long roads, I felt like I was always guided my whole life. I felt like I had like a guardian angel looking out for me, and I had this sense, you know, always, but I didn't know what it was, and I honestly didn't think that it was anybody else but me. And I read this book called The Celestine Prophecy, which just blew me away and gave me this whole different perspective of what was going on. And it wasn't like so much different than the way I was looking at it, but it was kind of like explained in words, and it was like it was the very first thing we learned from like the Celestine Prophecy, which has 9 insights towards spiritual growth. The first thing is noticing that there's a mass of people that are moving towards this. You know, off the air we were talking in you know, about karma and about, you know, just the beliefs that we share that we have in common. Well, there's more and more people like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you look into it and study, there really are some answers. You know, there's some things that guide you. And there's several books, you know, that people throw out there that they think are good. Myself, I read The Celestine Prophecy, and I'm a firm believer in the law of attraction. So The Secret really helped me a lot, too. And basically, I've always used the law of attraction my whole life, and it's so obvious to me to write it down and say, this is exactly how I used it to get where I'm at now. So Sean and I actually became very spiritual together. He, his parents, you know, have passed away, yet he still has a relationship with them, which is just bizarre. It's crazy. But one time I was riding with Sean, we went to the arena, and these people, some of the guys were, they're whistling the song, and it reminded him of his dad because his dad used to sing it to him when he was a little kid. He got a little teary-eyed, and he left the room. You know, he was trying to think of his match and clear his head. He went into a different dressing room, and they were talking about his dad, Stan the Man Stasiak. And he's like, oh, my God, what a coincidence. And we're really high on these coincidences, you know. We know there's meaning to them. Sean was pounding it in his head that night thinking, you know, why did that happen? What's the message there? And then he realized it was his dad's birthday.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's just a small example of what started our relationship, which really grew spiritually. And you know, we all have our own personal experiences. You know, when we think about a friend or somebody that we haven't thought of in a long time, and then all of a sudden, you know, they end up calling us or something, we get a little buzz off that. Like, we feel like we got a sneak peek into this process that lies underneath what we can see, you know, like, ooh, you know, this is supposed to happen, or I'm supposed to go that way, or whatever. And that's a little bit of what it is, but it's trying to hold on to that, you know, and living in the magic of life. It's awesome.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I mean, I'm so sincere about this, and then somebody's going to say, well, I'm being a smart ass, or I'm just being sarcastic, and I'm not. But
I'll give you a straight answer. That's one thing.
When you get a buzz, do you feel this awareness? Is that kind of open you up to some of this?
It can. I mean, traditionally, I know like a lot of people use cannabis spiritually, but you know that's for me overall. You know, that's something that's more like. I could be referred to as a functioning stoner, which means I do everything like that, so things don't stand out as much.
Okay.
People say, "Ooh, do you ever try and smoke and watch a movie?" You know, it's like, dude, you know, I'm a bit past that. You know.
We got some questions from the chat room. They're going to kill me if I don't get to some of these soon. But A.W. Bryan says, "If Paul Heyman decided to start a new wrestling company, would you consider working for it?"
I say, let's do lunch, Paul. Let's talk. That's probably the most interest that I could possibly have would be a plan coming from Paul, because he could possibly revive an artistic, desire and passion inside of me that really hasn't been there in a while, you know, and that's really what it would take to have interest.
Rocco says, and this is a good question because I'm wondering myself, what is there left for you to achieve in the wrestling business?
You know, it's just been about business for me for a long time. You know, even going to WWF in 2001, I knew at that time that I was going to be making a lot of compromises and some of what I'd enjoyed doing, you know, as an artist expressing myself was going to be taking a back seat to doing business, you know. So what's left? I guess, how about main eventing a WrestleMania and getting the big payday?
That's true. Angelo has a question in the chat room, and he must have been listening earlier. He wants to know your thoughts on Ron Paul and the legalization of marijuana.
Well, I'll try not to take up too much of your time here. First off, I like Ron Paul. You know, it's surprising that he's a Republican. He was a Libertarian before running for this presidential race. I wish that he had a lot more support. The whole prohibition of marijuana started in 1937 on bullshit. They outlawed it, saying that it causes violence, promiscuity, and if you smoke enough of it, you'll go insane.
Yeah, there was a big movie about that.
Yeah, Reefer Madness.
You know, it's
hard to watch the old movie now because it's so outdated, but Showtime recently made a musical of it. It's hilarious. It's great.
Yeah,
that and Grease have to be the only musicals I've ever enjoyed. but it's true. People don't realize, but it's true. Harry Anslinger, who was the head of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics, because the DEA wasn't existent back then, got pushed into a position to outlaw this weed that never harmed anybody, and it was all based on political agendas. It was racism. It was trying to drive the Mexicans and blacks out of desired towns and cities. And besides that, William Randolph Hearst, who ran the newspaper business, ran this ridiculous campaign with headlines that said if Frankenstein's monster took one look at marijuana, he'd run the other way. And they called it the devil's weed. And the thing is, now in 2008, people in general have never really been smartened up to that. The government has never gone back and said, oh, by the way, that was all BS back in the 30s. They still protect those ridiculous prohibition laws, even though in 1988 the administrative law judge ruled that the DEA moved marijuana property. And they denied the request and said, I think it would send the wrong message to kids. The wrong message that medicine has marijuana, that marijuana has medicine and can actually help people. That's the wrong message. That's ridiculous. So anyway, right now in 2008, we have as a class one controlled substance, we have marijuana with heroin and acid. No medicinal value. Even though we have 12 states that have legalized it medicinally, the federal government says no medicine. And as a class two controlled substance with more medicine than marijuana, they list cocaine and meth. Now that's just screwed up. The laws are screwed up. The facts are, if you're going to, I don't want to take anybody's freedoms away, but cigarettes, which they push on everybody, kills 1 in 5 Americans. Not 1 in 5 smokers, 1 in 5 Americans, 450,000 Americans a year, a direct result from tobacco smoke. Nicotine is one of the most addictive drugs that we've ever seen, and marijuana has killed zero. There's zero cases of a marijuana overdose, zero cases of lung cancer, throat cancer, in any medical journal. And that's amazing to me, but we don't learn about that. There's three different arguments for marijuana: medicinal, material, and recreational. And in all three, it rates higher in safety and effectiveness than its counterparts. They tell you it's a gateway drug. To me, that makes as much sense as saying that masturbating leads to rape. Because if you interview a bunch of rapists, ask them if they tried masturbating first.
Correlation does not equal causation.
You know, I won't go past this. But if you've watched Reefer Madness, which the original one was, I've seen the musical too, the recent one, but the original was made in 1938, you realize what a great propaganda machine our country really has.
Yeah,
because now you can look at it and laugh at it like it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the thing is, our laws were based on that and still are.
Do you get a kick out of those commercials that came out a few years ago where I remember one specifically where there was these guys at the drive-thru at the fast food
place. Right, and they hit the girl on the bike.
And they hit the girl because they were smoking weed. Did you get a kick out of those?
No, I don't. I find them offensive.
Yeah.
I think that they're totally meant to misdirect people and to keep this weed demonized, and it works. People automatically, like even if you tell them, hey, it really can help people, you know, tell them about hemp. Hemp doesn't even have THC in it. You cannot get high off it, yet you can make 25,000 products from it. Henry Ford made a car out of hemp fibers. It ran on hemp seed oil. He introduced it to the World Fair in 1941. Do we learn about that in school? I didn't. They don't want you to know about that because DuPont said, no, let's destroy the planet with plastics and metals. And William Randolph Hearst said, yeah, and now we got all these big multi-billion, zillion-dollar companies that would stand so much to lose if marijuana became legal. But there's absolutely no logical reason that it should be outlawed. There's not.
Compelling arguments.
I agree.
Question from the message board. AJ says, what are your memories of teaming with Sabu, and who are your favorite opponents to work against?
Well, Sabu and I wrestled against a lot of really good tag teams in ECW. I think about, you know, the matches we had with the Gangsters, the Eliminators, Furnace and Crawford. But what were some of my favorite matches were in Japan, because in all Japan, the style was so much different. It was a lot more competition. And we would wrestle against a couple of young guys like Akiyama and Amori, and we were really, really competing out there to outdo the other team. And it was just great, because right now you try to teach all this psychology to these young guys that are on TV already, even though they're, you know, just been training for a few weeks, and now it's everyone else's job to make them look good. And the thing is, in Japan, we would try to trap Akiyama or Amori or any of those young guys in our corner, you know, because that made sense. We didn't want him to get away and go to the other corner. And so Sabu and I would, like, do a move or two, and then we would tag our partner in really quick and try and come in before the guy could get away. And he was going to do the same damn thing to us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the more moves that we gave him and stuff, he was going to try to make us not look good so he could look better. And it really is competitive, you know. People don't understand. It's competition out there. You're trying to compete to look the best. You want to impress the fans. You want to impress the promoters, the bosses in the back, and you want to impress the other wrestlers. You want to stand out because that's how you get ahead. That's how you make it to the top. And people don't understand that when they ask about, you know, the realness of it. But in Japan, it was obvious. I mean, we were so competing for each other that, like, if they hit a double-team move on me, Sabu would run in and do and make the save, you know, on the one count. You know, just and then drag me over to my corner, and that's the kind of stuff that you try and teach young guys. But it was such a shoot; we were like really, doing that.
Was there any plans to bring Fonzie in when the ECW invasion started?
I don't know how deep the plans went. You know, I mean, he was at One Night Stand, and you know, we were definitely pulling for him. You know, and I don't know how deep it went. If they ever planned on using him or not. You know, but I certainly. Would have liked hooking them up, and plus, you know, I know the fans would have appreciated it too.
Double T has a question. He said back when you first parted with ECW, you were on a talk radio show in the Carolinas called The Big Show with John Boy and Billy, and that you gave the ECW belt to John Boy because you were owed money. He said, "Was this the real belt, and who has it now? Do you remember this at all?"
I remember the John Boy and Billy show, and I have a friend named Jeff Pillars that works on that show or is friends with them, and so that's the connection there. I mean, I obviously didn't hand a belt over to somebody, and I don't remember the story, but if somebody owes me, please send to robvandam.com.
Absolutely. Guys, you could check out RVDTV at robvandam.com.
And I also have a MySpace. It's myspace.com/5starcomics.
The number 5.
Indeed.
Absolutely. Rob, you've been a great guest. I want to thank you for being on the show, and hopefully we can have you again on real soon, man.
Yeah, right, Rob, man. I appreciate it. You guys, thanks for having me on. Thanks for helping me get the word out. And don't forget to give your loved ones something for Valentine's Day.
Absolutely.
All right. And when you come back, we'll talk about Zib and how you trained with him.
I like it. I was wondering that when you started talking about the 70s. I almost dove right in with that.
You worked with
them,
right?
We'll
do it again, my friend.
All right, later, guys.
All right, bye-bye. Rob Van Dam, guys, here on Wrestling Weekly. That's going to wrap things up for the week. We've got Tammy Sitch on next Tuesday.
All right, very good.
All right. Guys, enjoy ECW if you're listening live on the East
Coast.
Hey,
one of my trainees, Roy Fox, is supposedly on ECW tonight against Stevie Richards, so I'm going to be watching too.
So check it out, guys. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.